Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this Game Week 14 review podcast with me, Lee, and this is Sam from FPL Family. No live stream. Those of you that are subscribed to us on YouTube and the more astute of you would have noticed, no live stream on a Sunday. We are away. We're in the Middle East at the moment. So we actually had a meetup, didn't we? We had a meetup with a couple of our Patreon supporters. We met up with Allah and with Tracy. We watched the Spurs game, which wasn't exactly going to plan for the first few minutes, but then the mighty Spurs come back with a 3-2 victory. So it was very, very nice to see. Shout out to Allah and to Tracy, who we met the other night on a little mini FPL family meetup, which was really, really nice. So we're out and about. We're not at our usual, not at home with our, you know, camera set up and all the rest of it. So coming to you this week just via the podcast format. So yes, here we are on the official FPL family podcast. How was game week 14 for you, first and foremost? Let's go with that.
Oh, wow.
It was a tough game, wasn't it? I think a lot of FPL managers found it difficult this week.
It's been one of those weeks though, hasn't it? I think, you know, when Haaland was out and we kind of all didn't really know what to do with Haaland. Do we keep him? Do we play him? Do we bench him? Do we sell him? Do we captain him?
And then, what did you do? Captain and vice captain somebody else?
No, I played him, but captained Kane anyway.
Oh, so you were one of the braver ones. You went straight for the actual captain somebody else.
I did. Yeah, I wasn't one of the 5.3 million who left the armband with Haaland heading into this week. Yeah. I did give it to Kane. I've captained Kane twice now. He's blanked both times. I seem to be jinxing him whenever I hand him the armband.
Yeah, it's not
ideal, particularly when all three of my Arsenal attackers returned. Any of them would have been better captaincy options.
Because you didn't have Salah, right? You didn't have any Liverpool going into this weekend, which in the end was, well, the right decision. I guess Salah did get a goal. We'll talk about Liverpool in a minute. I've got some things to get off my chest.
Oh, I suspect you have.
A little bit when it comes to that game. But the Spurs game, yeah, for three goals to go in against Bournemouth and for there to be no Kane involvement was a bit unlucky.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I didn't think he looked particularly likely to get any, to be honest, when I was watching the game. I wasn't watching it thinking, oh, Kane's been really unlucky here. I was kind of watching it thinking, oh, come on, Kane, give me something.
Yeah.
It was a difficult game week, and then my goalkeeper got injured, so Kepa got naught.
Kepa, yeah. Out for the long term, or what's the diagnosis?
Well, I'm not overly concerned because I wasn't planning to play him for the next 2 weeks anyway when I was planning to bring back and play the mighty Danny Ward.
Danny Ward,
so I'm not overly concerned about Kepa, just a little bit frustrating, to be honest. And then, you know, Saka also got injured in what ended up being a bit of a riot for Arsenal. And now that one is a little bit more kind of concerning, maybe, because had he been on the pitch for all of that time, surely the points would have come for him rather than for Reece Nelson.
Well, his replacement. Yeah, absolutely. Nelson had a great game, didn't he? Imagine that haul for Saka owners. As a non-Saka owner, I definitely felt like I dodged a bit of a bullet in that game, no doubt about it. And what's the diagnosis with Saka out for has he got to have a scan, right?
Arteta's saying he's got to have a scan and he's hopefully be back for the World Cup. Now, I guess when you say hopefully be back for the World Cup, I mean, that is only now. We are only two game weeks away from the World Cup.
I thought it was an England fan. I hope he's back for the World Cup.
Well,
goodness
absolutely.
Me.
But we're only two game weeks away. So, of course, when they say hopeful back for the World Cup, actually, it's not very long, is it?
Yeah.
And we do have Arsenal fixture in
20 days until the World Cup,
right?
Are you excited about it yet? I'm not sure yet.
Do you know what? It's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't think I was at all until we came to the Middle East. But there's a lot of World Cup stuff going on out here.
Bit of a fever going on, yeah.
And so that's made me a little bit more excited. But I think, you know, at the moment, I'm still very much in the Spurs. Let's get through the Champions League group. Let's, you know, have some more Premier League action, and I'm sure when the Premier League finishes, because normally that's when the moment, isn't it, the end of the Premier League season happens, somebody wins the FA Cup, and then you build into England hype for a World Cup.
You have a month worth of hype up. That's the difference here. We've actually got, you know, a good week and a bit's worth of football, actual Premier League and Champions League still to go, and then Qatar sort of kicks off almost like without much of a break. It's just like, bang, here we are, World Cup time. And
and then the next it starts.
Crazy, right? Crazy.
But, you know, so it's interesting, isn't it? But I think, it was game week 14 was particularly difficult for me. A couple of injuries picked up, a captaincy blank. And then I benched Dallow for his 9-point haul because he picked up the 3 bonus points in that. I mean, to be fair...
You benched Dallow? What, home to West Ham?
Well, the conversation was between benching Dallow or Anderson. Both of them ended up keeping clean sheets. So, you know, I sort of felt quite pleased that I hadn't benched Anderson on Saturday. Then be like, oh, wish I had on Sunday. One of those annoying things, right? And had Foden just stayed on the bench... Like, why does he have to bring Foden on? If you're going to bench him, just leave him there, Pep. Stop bringing him on for 15 minutes just to give me a one-pointer. Foden's been my disappointment, I think, since my wild card. Like, I bought Foden in, Since then, two benchings, 2 1-point cameos, really difficult to stomach, I think.
What's the deal with that? Is this a thing now? Foden was the, at least on paper, that looked least likely, outside of probably Kevin De Bruyne and Haaland, to suffer from the Pep roulette. But here we are 2 weeks in a row. Is this a, would we just suck it up now and just accept that actually from now it would be okay? Or what are we saying?
Well, let's see. I mean, they've qualified in the Champions League, right? So hopefully we don't see any major rotation again around that match in midweek. But yeah, I think it's difficult. I mean, Foden's not a player that I want to sell, and surely two benchings in, I would be expecting him to start in game week 15. But then let's see what happens in the Champions League and what Pep does. I thought without Haaland that Pep would 100% start Foden this week, but I was expecting a front three of kind of Alvarez, Foden and KDB. So when Foden was benched again, I was like, are you joking, Pep? Come on.
Yeah, no, totally. So Manchester City march on 1-0, which for them is a slender scoreline by any stretch of the imagination. Elsewhere, though, some big scores. I mean, did you see Brighton beating Chelsea 4-1? I mean, where's that come from? The Potter derby. I mean, there must have been something in the water there at Brighton at the Amex to say, we're going to show Potter, we're going to show Cucurella, you know, what it's like when you come back to the Amex. They just had their number, didn't they? De Zerbi's first win, I think, as well.
Win. I mean, Potter's look at this. First loss. I mean,
was it their first defeat under Potter?
I think so, yeah. Think certainly, right? Certainly at home, certainly away from home. You know, I think for me, it was one of those games that felt like it had a big result in it, didn't it? I didn't think it was going to be a Brighton win, but it felt like there was a lot on that game, because Brighton obviously would have wanted to beat Potter. Potter would have wanted to have gone back to Brighton and got something from that game as well. Same with Cucurella. I was not expecting, because this game was on at the same time as Spurs, wasn't it? So we were kind of watching both in the bar that we were in. And,
yeah.
It, you know, it was really interesting for me. It wasn't one I was predicting, hence playing Kepa, right?
Yeah.
Played Kepa because I was expecting Chelsea to do what they've been doing, and that's be solid defensively.
Very open game this, you know. I mean, obviously Brighton had plenty of chances, hence the four goals. But, you know, Chelsea had their chances. I think Sanchez came over with 7 saves. He got a bonus point despite conceding the goal. I think he was second for overall in the BPS system after Estupiñán. For amongst Brighton players. So listen, you know, the Brighton goalkeeper had a good game. Could have been any scoreline, this. Could have been any scoreline. But in the end, you've got to say, you know, any team that wins 4-1, they're good value for the win. Any of these players from either side on your radar now for 15 and 16? And give me before you answer that question, give me how you're thinking for the next couple of game weeks. Because there'll be a lot of FPL managers going out there thinking, well, listen, we've got the unlimited transfers coming up over the World Cup after game week 16. I want to take a bit of a punt or two, potentially.
Yeah. I'm not sure these are clubs for it, though, because, you know, Chelsea got Arsenal in game week 15.
True enough.
That's difficult.
Yeah, true
I
enough.
Mean, I think that there are certain clubs, like Newcastle, who you just go in for the next couple of weeks because, you know, they've got nice fixtures. And there are going to be a lot of managers, right, who own, like you, who own Ivan Toney, who picked up his 5th yellow card in game week 14.
Yeah.
So now going to be suspended for game week 15 and has a tough fixture in game week 16 as well. So probably...
City, right?
Yeah.
So he's probably a sell, an easy Toney, sell. If you've got him, easy.
But the question is, where do you go? Well, Callum Wilson, that's difficult for you because you've obviously also got Trippier and you've got Nick Pope in goal. So you can only
Not
afford...
that difficult.
Well, you can only afford him or Almiron.
Well, I've done it already, so ain't that difficult.
Oh, you've done Callum
Wilson.
I've done
it already. So, spoiler alert, yes. Well, let's segue to that game. Newcastle 4, Aston Villa 0. It felt very knee-jerky. It felt very much chasing the points, but it also felt like a complete no-brainer.
Absolutely.
Tony's got a blank and then City away, so you're definitely selling him. Who else are you going to get in that bracket? Now, I did consider... because we've got to talk about your team and we've got to talk about my team and we've got to talk about the FPL Family Derby that's coming up at the weekend. Spurs against Liverpool at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I tell you now, guys, I am not looking forward to that game one bit. But then every Spurs fan that I speak to, and obviously I know a lot of Spurs fans, you included, but I've got a lot of Spurs fans, mates.
To be fair, we've not spoken about this yet.
No, we haven't, but a lot of my Spurs mates are texting me going, don't worry, Dr. Tottenham will turn up, you'll be good as gold at the weekend and we'll ship a bunch of goals. So there's not much... feeling in the Spurs community either that you guys are going to win. But anyway, we'll get to that. Let's get to that in a minute.
Newcastle.
I want to just talk about Newcastle Villa because, yeah, listen, 4-0. I mean, on the back of Villa losing Gerrard and then winning 4-0 themselves last game week. So we're all sitting there thinking, oh, well,
are they back?
Stevie's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Villa, they're back. thinking about Watkins again. We're thinking about Cash and Deeney, all these sort of targets coming back onto the radar. And all of a sudden, they go to Newcastle and get smashed 4-0. And by the way, not the only team that are going to go to St James's and get beat this season. Newcastle are the real deal. Absolutely the real deal.
Do you regret having Trippier and Pope with the way that Newcastle are playing right now going forward?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. A little bit. Because you look at it and I feel similar to the way that you must have felt when you had City. Yeah, because you had Edison and Cancelo. And every week that was churning over you a few points. And it's difficult to not like that.
Yeah.
Because same as this week, right? I've got Pope in with six and I've got Trippier.
Well,
and by the way,
right?
Trippier's going nowhere. I mean, absolute. What value in FPL? 11 this week points. So to answer your question, yeah, I do feel a bit because I've got Pope sitting there with six. But I'm like, oh, bloody hell. You know, you've got Almiron on how many points? You've got Callum Wilson on how many points? They're scoring how many goals?
Mm.
And over the next couple, they have got some pretty tasty-looking fixtures, Newcastle. So you're right. If you go back to the conversation we had a second ago, which is I might want to take a punt or two from a couple of different clubs.
Callum Wilson's owned by like 2.3% going into
I could not believe
week.
It. I couldn't believe it. He's up to 8.8 now when I transferred him in. Yeah. And it will go up again before 100%. The next game week.
I mean, that's 6% of managers bringing him in since
all Tony owners mostly, right?
Absolutely, because it's an obvious move to make, I think, if you've got Tony. Callum Wilson, for me, is a player that I would absolutely love to have, but with a front three of Haaland, Kane and Jesus. Now, Kane and Jesus both also, interestingly, on 4 yellow cards now, so got to keep an eye on both of them.
Kane is on four
yellows now, so if he gets booked against Liverpool, he'll miss game week 16 too. So I need to keep an eye on both of those guys, and obviously I need to keep an eye on what the deal is with Haaland and how injured he is. But those front three spots for me are less difficult, but Saka's my thing. So for me, I'm looking at Saka, and I'm thinking, well, if you get ruled out of game week 15, Almiron feels like an easy way, an easy pick, and a nice... He's not a differential in the same way that Callum Wilson is.
He's got some ownership now, Almiron.
And I would have loved Callum Wilson from the differential perspective, but I do really like Almiron. I like what Newcastle are doing. The slight hesitation I have with the Newcastle midfield is St Maximum coming on for a part of the game.
Okay.
Because obviously if he's back, you would expect him to come back into the starting 11 probably. And how might that affect who's playing? It's not going to affect Callum Wilson. So you would 100% stay all in on Callum Wilson. But how might St Maximin's return from injury affect who plays in the midfield? I don't think it will affect Almiron because he is on such good form. I can't believe for any second that he's going to lose his spot in that.
The confidence is unreal. I remember seeing a couple of shot maps, you know, just before this weekend, actually. So this will have changed a little bit, given that he picked up a goal and an assist, obviously, for the weekend. But if you look at where he's taken his shots from, there was a side-by-side. I think it was Mark and Az did something on Black Box. Focal was on there, right? So Oscar and Mark did a bit of analysis on it. Really good piece of analysis. And they showed side-by-side the screens of where Almiron was taking his shots last season. And there was one green dot inside the box. And the rest were kind of yellow dots peppered outside the area, right? So he wasn't really getting into those positions. He was taking some shots from outside the box that had kind of fairly low XG.
Yeah.
This season, totally different. How is getting him into those positions? There was at least seven or eight, you know, green dots inside the penalty area. And there was even, I think, three or four within the six-yard area. So what does that tell you? That says he's getting into those more dangerous positions. He's getting higher XG chances. And because he's a good player, he's fairly clinical, right? And we're starting to see the form that we saw in the MLS before he came to the Premier League. And another thing that blew my mind was that this is Almiron's fifth year in the Premier League.
You said that.
Couldn't believe it. I was like, this guy's surely been around for about 18 months. No, it's his fifth year in the Premier League. So he has taken his time. Let's not beat around the bush. But finally now, maybe we're starting to see it.
I do wonder whether it's a purple patch, but that doesn't matter. Because at this precise moment, you can afford a purple patch.
That's it.
Because we've got 2 game weeks to go to the World Cup.
Exactly.
Will Almiron...
Get on the purple patch.
Will Almiron after the World Cup still be Almiron/Messi that we've got at the moment? Or will we go back to Almiron/grassroots football that we've been seeing up until this point? Now, I don't know is the answer. I don't know whether this is form or whether this is, you know, permanent change of class here. Let's see. But right now, it's a nice purple patch. He's not a differential, and he does hurt when he bangs. He hurts your rank. He's one that if Saka is injured, then for me, that's probably an obvious move to make, I think. I'm really impressed by what Newcastle are doing. They are, like you say, you know, they're playing they're playing like a team that are oozing confidence, that have got their best players fit and available again. And they're not, you know, we're not talking about like world-class superstars here that have cost millions and millions of pounds, but we're talking about great buys that Eddie Howe's made to strengthen the Newcastle team.
Yeah.
You know, he's got all these millions and pounds available, but what he has spent isn't huge yet, but it's been spent wisely.
Wow, come on. No, they've spent quite a bit of money in the summer. This isn't a Cinderella story.
No.
This is, they've spent some money. He's doing a very good job with what he's been given.
In comparison to what they could have spent, you've got... It's the same
I don't know. If you add it up, they spent a few quid.
It's the same as... I don't think it was as much as you think, you know. When you think back to, you know, where Man City... It's Man City, right? When they first started, when they first got their money... They started investing. You've got to prove your worth.
Totally
right?
Different.
It's
totally
not.
Different.
It's not.
They went out and got, who's the Brazilian lad? Was it Robinho?
Well,
whatever his name
one.
Was.
Yeah, but you have to build up a squad, don't you? Because you have to persuade people to want to go there. You have to get Champions League football. You have to build up so that you attract these massive names to the club. And that's what Newcastle are doing right now. They're positioning themselves in the top four to get themselves into European football next season. And at that point, the investments that they can make in really top quality players. I think Newcastle in a couple of seasons are going to be fantastic. Not long ago, we were talking about them potentially getting relegated, and now look where they are. Like, I think Eddie Howe, all right, he spent some money, but he's not spent, you know, as much as he could have done. He's done a fantastic job. With the players that he's got, he is doing a fantastic, fantastic job, and he's getting players like Almiron, who always have potential, to suddenly be able to execute the potential.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I like being invested in Newcastle. I still don't like the defensive double up.
Yeah. Okay. It's a difficult one that, because
I don't think I'd change it if I was you. By the way, just
no.
As an aside.
Two weeks from now, I'm not going to be spending one of my really valued transfers on getting rid of Pope.
Limited transfers,
right?
You might.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I do agree with you on the Newcastle thing. I do think he's doing a good job. I do think they are doing very well. I do think they are an up and coming superpower, but.
I hope it's not at my expense.
But come on, this is you know, they've spent a lot of money in the summer. This is not a Howe's come in and done a, you know, got a ton of really bad players and doing an amazing job. He's bought in a lot of talented players. He went out and got a top goalie. Like Nick Pope spent a load of money on, like Botman was a load of money as well, right? So listen, they are doing very well, no doubt about it. Let's move on. Let's talk about the FPL Family Derby. So we've got Spurs and Liverpool coming up at this weekend, and I, for one, I'm not looking forward to it. Sam from FPL Family.
But you never look forward to the derby.
Well, tell me what you thought, and because we are where we are, the Liverpool and Leeds game was on very late into the night. You decided to go to bed and not watch it, which was absolutely the right decision. I should have followed and not bothered watching it, but I did, and it was dreadful. I'd like to get your take on it first, though, before I dive in.
I don't really know what to say about it because I haven't seen any of the highlights. I didn't watch any of the match, so it's very, very difficult for me to comment on this other than to say. I know.
You could tell from the mood I was in the next day how it went, surely.
Well, yes, but I think for me, the stance that I had, even with Salah scoring in this game, the stance I still take is that he is way too expensive to own in FPL. Like, I know that this week, if you had him, it's worked out okay because you probably vice-captained him or captained him because Haaland was injured and he got a goal.
Mm.
But for me, Newcastle, Liverpool don't look like the team that they did last season where they're going to knock three or four past teams comfortably.
No.
Salah's not got the same swagger about him right now. He still looks a little bit fed up as he's playing at times on the pitch, as do a lot of Liverpool players. And defensively, that's where the problem's for me anyway. Every time I watch Liverpool, I think, you know, defensively you look weak. That's putting you on the back foot all the time. You're not playing out from the defence as well as you used to do last season, and the midfield defensive players aren't there because of injury and so such forth. But you had a lot of those players back for this game. Now, granted, they've just come back from injuries, so they're not necessarily match fit, etc., 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 but this is a home game at Anfield. You should be beating Leeds United at home. You just should. And they've been in poor form as well. They've not been winning games. It's difficult. I mean, Salah, you're going to keep him, I assume, now?
I don't know. So first of all, you're being kind by talking about our injuries and stuff. This game, utter dross.
Ugh.
Utter dross. It was abysmal. There was no intensity. There was no shape. There was no desire to win. And actually, I think on our Ohana podcast that we did for our patrons on Friday, I laid into Jesse Marsh a little bit.
Yeah, you did.
I went a little bit heavy on him and I said, you know, this is a guy who I think he's a bit up and at him. He's a bit not much carrot. He's all stick. I think he came out in the press and said something about, you know, I'm just fed up with losing. And I was a bit like, all right, mate.
What's going on?
You know, why? Mm. What's the tactic? What are you going to change then? Don't just say I can't be bothered losing anymore. Why? What are you going to do? But even that typically American up and at 'em attitude was enough to beat a Liverpool side that didn't even have an up, never mind at 'em. It was dreadful, Sam, honestly. And when I went to bed straight after it, because it was about 1 o'clock here by the time it finished, and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep because I was sitting there thinking about how dreadful it was and how we'd have been lucky to take a point away, to be honest with you. Now, the one thing I will say, and I know a lot of Liverpool fans will say, well, hold on a minute, Melier got 9 saves. The most saves a goalkeeper's ever made in a game so far this season. Pretty sure he got some bonus points. I think he got 2 bonus points. He did have a really good game, the goalkeeper. He had a really good game. But our finishing was so bad. Like the likes of Nunez are finishing so bad, he's given Melier an opportunity to save these, right? In the past, we would not have given the goalkeeper opportunities
right? You can only make saves if the shots are at the right place that they can
be saved. Yeah. And I'll talk about FPL in a minute, but from a Liverpool perspective, I would not be bringing any of them in. I would not be bringing in Nunez. I would not be bringing in Mo Salah, especially not ahead of a trip to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Would you sell?
When I went through 1 to 11, I was sort of sitting there lying in bed thinking, what the hell just happened? I was sort of sitting there thinking, I can't help but think that Klopp is managing decline in players right now. He's not managing necessarily the development of a lot of players right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that 11 at the weekend and a lot that have played a lot of minutes this season so far that are past their peak, right? Yeah. If you go through it 1 to 11, Alisson, Klopp is managing his decline. Alisson is past his peak. Yes. He's still a top goalkeeper. He might even be at his peak right now, but he's still past his peak. Robertson, managing decline. Robbo is not as good as he used to be. Van Dijk, managing decline. Joe Gomez could be developed into a good talent.
What's happening with Trent?
Trent, difficult, because
he shouldn't be managing decline.
He shouldn't be managing decline, but he was part of that team that has already been at their peak. So he's part of the collective decline, potentially. Gosh. But Trent has got to shake himself out of that because he has got the potential to be...
He should be
back of the new. Yes, absolutely. The three players we bought on, Henderson, Milner, Curtis Jones. Henderson and Milner, managing decline. Although Milner's been one of our best players so far this season.
Well, they're not even in decline, darling. They're
Thiago, he's managing decline. Right? Fabinho, he's managing his decline. The players, Salah to a degree, is managing his decline. Salah's past his peak.
Yeah.
Probably. Is Salah going to get back to where he was when he was 27, 28?
No,
probably not,
I
right?
Like
and the challenge that Klopp has got is that the players who he wants to develop into this new-look Liverpool side are either headbutting people and have been suspended for 3 games in a row, or are still transitioning into the new team, or are Luis Diaz, who's now injured, or is Diogo Jota, who is injured, is Ibu Konate, who is injured, who's the future centre-half of our club, no doubt about it. All the players that we need to be blooding into this next-gen Liverpool are injured. So he's got no choice but to play those that he's managing the decline of. And these players are not motivated anymore. There's no intensity. It's not the same. So listen, that's my rant about Liverpool over. From an FPL perspective, don't get them.
What do you do if you've got them?
Well, I've got Mo Salah right now and I'm just going to hold him, right? I'm just going to hold him because I've got other things in my team I need to sort out. Tony, I've already sorted out, right? I've got one other free transfer and I've got a defensive differential that I'm going to talk about in a second that I've got my eye on. But, you know, Salah could... If you've got him and you want to free up some funds to do a KDB, or if you do fancy bringing in Harry Kane against Liverpool and then a nice game in 16. Who have you got in 16? I can't remember, but it's another nice home game. Spurs have got, I think it's Leeds. Liverpool and Leeds back-to-back for Kane at home is really nice. If you want to move Salah funds out to do that move for Harry Kane, I wouldn't want to talk you out of that at all.
It's hard though because, you know, it's hard to know what you're going to get with Spurs. That's the other thing I would say is that, you know, for all the rant you've just had about Liverpool there, it's also quite difficult to know what you're going to get from Spurs at the moment because...
See, this fascinates me. All the Spurs fans are just like, oh, Liverpool coming at the weekend, that's going to be difficult. As a Liverpool fan, I'm sitting there thinking that is a home win.
So I'm not worried.
Banker.
I'm not so much worried about you coming, but we've got an important Champions League game in midweek first.
That is true. We've got a dead rubber, haven't
You've
we?
Got a dead Largely, rubber. Yeah. We have, that's because true. Of the VAR in the 90-odd minute against, or back in match day 5.
Lisbon, right?
Yes, we still haven't qualified yet for the Champions League, the next stage. So we have to go to Marseille.
That's true.
And win. We have to qualify. So that, for me, is the priority. And, of course, that's happening on Tuesday evening. So we've got to go out there and play our full-strength side. You don't have to do that when you play on Tuesday evening.
That is true. Yeah,
so
true.
All right, it's Tuesday. We've both
going to get battered by Napoli, by the way, in a week.
But does it matter? Like, do you know, Klopp could go out and he could play all the kids and you get battered and no one will care because it's the kids that have been played, right? And you've rested your players that you're going to need to play us at the weekend. We don't have that luxury. We have to go. We have to play Kane. We have to play Son. We have to put out our defence, the best defence we can. We have to do everything right.
We give up so many big chances though, Sam. I mean,
but we do.
And you've got the players that are going to take them, right? Whereas ours can't finish their dinner.
I would hope so. I mean, look, I'm not unconfident going into the weekend.
No.
But I think a lot of Spurs fans who are worried about the weekend are also probably thinking about Tuesday first, and then they'll get into thinking about the weekend. Now, would I bring in a Spurs player ahead of the Liverpool game? Maybe not. But will I play Harry Kane? Absolutely.
What do you like? What do you make of that? Take funds out of Salah to get Kane move. How are you feeling about that?
I mean, I don't dislike it. I mean, I think the thing is that Kane, he's not consistently hitting the big numbers. The team that Spurs, there was a lot of upset Spurs fans at half time in the Bournemouth game.
No doubt.
But not really because of the result and not really because of the players, but because of the system that Conte had put out. There was a lot of players, a lot of FPL manager, a lot of Spurs fans saying, why are we playing this system? It doesn't work. And then in the second half, he changed it and we played so much better and we really dominated the game in the second half. And by the end, we deserved to take the win.
Yeah.
Now, it depends for me what he does at the weekend. If he goes out and plays the Spurs system that he played against Bournemouth in the second half, we should beat you comfortably in that game, playing in that kind of football, because we have the free-flowing counter-attack football which suits playing against you. But my
concern, counter-attack frightens the life out of me. I mean, Sonny on the counter-attack against the high line that we used to be our trademark, that we could play that perfectly and spring that offside trap.
Yeah.
And, crucially, across that back four, you'd have the pace to get back.
Yeah.
We just haven't got it.
No, and I think if you play that system against us, which you will because that's your game, if we exploit it with our wing-backs in the way that we can, then we should be able to beat you in that game. The question for me is the personnel he puts out. I'm hoping to see Perisic in the Champions League because that means we won't see Perisic in the Premier League, because I think Perisic is way better for us in the Champions League than he is in the Premier League. I'd rather have Sessegnon play against you on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have Doherty on the other side rather than Royale. I'm hoping to see Perisic and Royale in the Champions League and therefore Sessegnon and Doherty in the Premier League.
It is interesting to see who we would put up against the Gomez and Trent weak point. And let's be honest, it is the weak point for us. Does he put Perisic's little bit of pace, but, you know, nous and experience, or does Sessegnon just unleash his pace and knowing
and
that Son... Yeah, I mean,
that's
what I'd do, I think.
Down that side, I'd let Sess, because Sess is a terrier. He'll go out there, he'll have a go at that side.
Had a good season, Sessegnon.
I really like him, he's playing really well. So I would be putting Sessegnon out there because it's going to unleash Son in a way that we need. It'll unleash the counter-attacking Son to Kane football.
Are Richarlison or Kulusevski going to be back?
Well, Kulusevski was at the stadium and he did some warming up with the team before the game against Bournemouth. I don't think he'll be available for the weekend.
Not going to risk him. Too important,
I think he'll risk him. Unless we really needed it. Unless someone major picks up an injury in midweek, which, God forbid, let's hope they don't. But, you know, I think from a Spurs perspective, we will probably concede, because we do like to concede a goal at the moment. So I can see you scoring against us, which is why
I can see us conceding a hatful and all.
Yeah. I mean, it's at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The fans are going to be up for it.
0-0 incoming.
I can't see it being 0-0. I think there's goals in it. I don't think I'd worry too much about defenders for either side. I think I'd go all in on the attackers.
Definitely not. No, definitely not. All right, well, let's move on from that derby to a team where you are trebled up in attack. And you did pretty well out of this game from an FPL perspective. Arsenal 5, Forest 0. Mm. You know, if ever there was a... if ever anyone was thinking about who the new kind of pretenders to the throne are, or City's main competition this season. You know, I've only got to look a week ago when Liverpool could not beat Nottingham Forest, couldn't get past them. 1-0, we lost. I appreciate it was at the Forest. It was at the Nottingham Forest Stadium. But, you know, Arsenal go out on Sunday and smash Forest 5-0 without really even thinking twice. Mm. Now, the injury to Saka definitely is something to consider. We'll talk about that in a second. But with Gabriel Jesus in your side, you had Martinelli as well. Those of us that had Arsenal defenders, so I had White in my team, and I know there's a few of you with like Ramsdale and others,
and
so
Saliba.
And you again, you're kind of happy to bank the 6 points. Don't get me wrong, but in a 5-0 win, you want the three that you've got, right?
Well, yeah,
Weren't expecting the Reece Nelson outcome.
I must admit, looking back, it's a silly one, isn't it? Because I should not feel frustrated in my Arsenal players at all.
No.
But I am a bit frustrated in the Saka thing. And it's no fault of Saka's. It's just an injury and these things happen. But has he plays for 27 minutes and he's already got an assist. He gets injured, he goes off.
He would have hauled.
He would have absolutely hauled. Yeah. And I can't help but feel a little bit like that was a real opportunity missed, because if Saka hauls in that game, that's a lot of points.
Absolutely the right FPL decision, just the wrong outcome. Just unlucky.
And I felt the same last week with my Arsenal attackers, because it was Xhaka and White that got the points. You know, I felt the same last week that it was an opportunity missed, and I feel the same. So I'm going to be watching. Obviously, we will get more Arsenal because they've got Europa League action in midweek. So we will get an understanding from Arteta again ahead of Thursday night as to what's happening with Saka.
Do you fancy him against Chelsea away?
Yeah.
I do fancy them.
I just look at Chelsea at the moment, and I know that Potter actually hasn't had a bad, by no means has he had a bad start to his Chelsea career. And I think it was a bit of a blip against a Brighton team that were very much like, come on then, let's be having you.
Yeah, maybe.
A bit of Delia about them. But I think, you know,
Delia.
You can't forget about Delia. Come on, let's be having you. But I do think that Arsenal, these are the games that Arteta needs his boys to win. He needs them to go, like, we have to go and beat you. Yeah. They have to go and beat Arsenal. They've already beaten us. They've already beaten you. If they go out there, I think they beat you as well, didn't they?
Probably.
If they can take points off of us supposed big clubs around them, that's what they need to do if they're going to beat Man City to this title.
Do you know what, though? Chelsea-Arsenal is always... it's unpredictable. You on paper, if you were going down the bookies now with £20, you'd have it on Arsenal, no doubt about it. But there's so many.
Aubameyang versus
Sam,
Arsenal.
And listen, there's so many like stories there, isn't there?
I don't think I'd play my Arsenal defenders against Chelsea. I think I'd bench Saliba, Gabriel, White.
I think so. I think that's a harder game to call than you think.
I'd play all three of them. If Saka's fit, I'll play all three of my
You're going to go with all three, are you?
If Saka's fit.
Okay.
If Saka's not fit, I'll sell him for Almiron.
Okay, so you're not thinking of sticking with your three Arsenal quota?
Well, only because we're 2 game weeks away from the World Cup.
Yes.
So if Saka's injured, then I'm just going to move him on for Almiron, because I don't want to carry any passengers for this period of time.
Fair enough, yeah. So, but Gabriel Jesus.
Well, he'll
stay
until he gets booked, which could happen against.
Yeah, I suppose.
That could happen, couldn't it, this weekend against Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, Kane could get booked. There's so many of them sitting on that 4 yellow card now. I think Mitrovic is on 4 yellow cards as well now. So there's a lot of us
in that four yellows
boat. So we'll all be watching them game week 15, thinking, right, are you making it for me in 16? I think there's a lot of opportunity in this week. Chelsea Arsenal is difficult to call, but I'd put my money on Arsenal.
Yeah, okay. So I don't think you're not bringing in any Arsenal this week. I think that's safe to say. But yes, if you've got them, you hold. And I think you relatively confidently go into that game playing them, I would say. Where else do you want to talk about from this game week? I do just want to talk about... what was the game I was going to discuss? The Manchester United versus West Ham games. That was the last game of the game week. Fairly late, wasn't it, out here watching it? But Man United won, West Ham 0. David De Gea, very much the star of the show at the end. I don't know whether he got any bonus points. Let me just take a look.
Dallow got three.
He definitely deserved them. Dallow with the 3 bonus points. De Gea did pick up a bonus point. Yeah, but listen, when you watch the highlights back, if you're a Man United fan, you watch that game, even if you're a West Ham fan, you would say, no doubt, De Gea saved them right at the death. A couple of really, really top-notch saves. It's West Ham that I'm interested in talking about first, though. And the reason I'm interested in talking about them is that because their fixtures for 15 and 16 are really, really good. They've got Palace at home in 15, and then in 16, they've got Leicester at home. I mean, two home games against teams that...
are back Danny Ward.
Well, listen, maybe we'll talk about that game in a minute. Palace away from home are rubbish, right? And actually, I'd back West Ham against Leicester at home as well. So going back to the comment we made a few minutes ago about, okay, well, we'd go in on Almiron or we'd go in on a Callum Wilson for a bit of a punt before the World Cup. How about West Ham?
It doesn't apply for me for West Ham because we've got no form from the team. And that's the issue.
Okay.
For me, at this point, I'm looking for teams with form and players within them that are showing form. I feel like if I invested in West Ham, I'd be taking an absolute punt. It would be an absolute punt on a West Ham asset. And I don't know who that would be. Like, nobody's standing out as a massive, I want to punt on you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's my issue with West Ham. I don't think those fixtures are particularly great. I think Palace can be good. They can
away,
be.
Though. They're not great away.
They're not normally great away. But West Ham aren't. What are you seeing from West Ham? They're not showing much form.
Okay, well, the one player that I have got my eye on, and bear in mind that I've got a Cucurella-sized problem in my team because I don't fancy him against Arsenal. But Aaron Creswell is the player that I quite like the look of from West Ham. Now, he's on set pieces against United. Yeah, okay, could have maybe should have would have got some points. There was one, I think he got he created a big chance for, was it Zuma, I think, towards the end of the game. There was a ball in, he put in, there was a good header. Well, that was one of the De Gea saves, I'm pretty sure. So despite the defeat, he passed the eye test for me, and he played particularly well against Bournemouth as well. Got the two bonus points when they won 2-0 there without getting any FPL return. Is it a... First of all, how do you feel about Cucurella out?
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, yeah, okay, so we're agreed on that. So if I was going to have a punt somewhere defensively, that's where I think I might go, you know. Might go for an Aaron Creswell. I just think he's got, you know, with those two home fixtures, potentially back-to-back six-pointers, potentially, just put it out there for a minute. Then if he picks up an assist from a corner or something, all of a sudden you're talking about a 10 or 11-pointer from a 3.5% owned asset. Now, listen... in a normal season, I'd not be bringing him in because I think you're right. We've not seen enough from West Ham. But a couple of home games, on set pieces, double-digit potential for a couple of games. No? Not feeling it?
Not really. I mean, I just...
Last time I had one of these feelings, it was Timothy Castagne, by the way, who's been absolutely awesome. So I feel like I missed out on that one.
I don't know. I mean, I just... I think defensively, maybe I could get on board with the West Ham thing a little bit more. I just think that Crystal Palace can be solid defensively when they want to. So I wouldn't fancy necessarily a punt. And I do think it would be a punt on a West Ham attacker. Defensively, maybe, because they're not that great away from home at scoring goals, that's for sure. And Zaha's trolling us all at the moment. So, you know, maybe I can get on board with that.
You don't want a penalty-less Bowen or a Smacker or a... what's the other guy who's come in recently? Not Busquets. It's very
Busquets,
different player.
I don't think he came
Paqueta.
In. Paqueta's injured.
Oh, yeah.
Paqueta's
okay.
injured.
Not feeling
I'm
it.
Just really not feeling West Ham. I don't see anything from them, and I feel like it would be a massive, massive punt.
Okay. All right, well, listen, I'm quite keen, actually. I'm quite keen to spend my second transfer on Cucurella to Creswell, so watch this space. Let's talk about our teams then for the week, which was to be honest with you, a pretty sorry state of affairs. So my team for this week is 59 points when all said and done.
Oh, you hit average.
I hit the FPL average, the bang average, right? 59 points. Cancelo, Pope, White and Trippier, all good. Yeah, all good. 6, 6, 6 and 11, so perfect, right? So the defence was looking good. Then you get into the midfield, I've got Martinelli, I've got Salah, that's not too bad. But Zaha letting me down again. When will I learn with this guy? Foden coming on with a 1-point cameo, Andreas coming on with the 3, which is kind of okay because it's Andreas and it's, you know, listen, when I bench him, he'll get double digits. And when 100%. I need him, he'll get a 3-pointer, right? That's just the way Andreas is going to work this season. But it's my front boys, it's my forwards that are really letting me down. So obviously Haaland... we've got to wait for a bit more news as to what we do about this guy, but I'm obviously in no mood to knee-jerk him out. But of course, you know, a no-show this week, so 0 points. Mitrovic playing out 0-0, and to be honest with you, the odd chance, but didn't massively pass the eye test. And then Tony, who I expected big things from at home to Wolves, I expected Brentford to do well in that game and for Tony to do well in that game. One pointer, come away with just a booking and gets himself bloody suspended for the next game week. So it's my front three that really let me down. My back line doing well, but my front three let me down. 59 points, that's enough for a red arrow. So I'm now down to 168k overall, and I was at about 110, 115 before. So listen, not the end of the world to get a 50k red arrow, but certainly not what I would have wanted from the game week. So 59 points, bang average, Sam. Average.
On the other hand, I had a shocker. An absolute shocker.
You had a bit of a stinker, didn't you?
Not helped by the fact that my captain blanked, because obviously I'd captained Kane.
Yeah.
Kepa went off injured, so got naught.
Saka went off injured.
Just with the assist. Foden came on for a 1 point
Anything
cameo.
Anything going right?
Anderson, Cancelo and Trippier, 6, 6, 11.
So the back line again.
Back line did well. Okay. Jesus and Martinelli with 9 and 8 is nice. And then I just 1 for Foden, 2 for Zaha, 3 for Andreas. Dallow on my bench with 9, not ideal at all.
That'd have made a big difference.
It would have
made
a massive difference. Oh, but I never contemplated playing him. It was him or Anderson, but the 3 points would have made a difference anyway, the extra that I got from him. It's just a bit frustrating. I think I've just got to stop prioritising Zaha over other people, because he's
how
rubbish.
Long is this guy going to stay on our
team? I know, right? Well, he was going to be my sell this week. But then, so, and if Saka is okay, then he will still be my sell this week. I'll do Zaha to Almiron instead of doing Saka to Almiron.
But if Saka's not okay, then Zaha's going to get a stay again. Of execution away at West Ham.
Well, no, I have got 2 free transfers, so I could also get rid of Zaha.
Okay.
I could just get rid of him as well in a rage. But then you know what he's going to do? He's going to, as soon as I rage him out, everyone else should keep him, because every time I rage him out, gets a
hat-trick. Will we learn with Zaha? Every time we bring him in, he goes crap.
I don't know.
And I tell you what, I've just bought in another one, haven't I? Callum Wilson. I'm proper chasing points there.
No, I think you're good there.
He has trolled me in seasons past, no doubt
about
it.
Yeah, an absolute shocker of a game week for me. I was at 9, I don't know where I was, but I've gone down to 1.3 million again now.
Oh, it's bloody hell, really?
Honestly, it's nearly 1.4 million as well. It's an absolute shocker of a week. It just killed me, because I had 52. It was a nightmare. If the captain blanks, it's a nightmare. And the thing is, when I look around at what everyone else did with a captaincy, if you captain Kane, obviously you're with me in the blank category. But then everyone else had captained Salah or Jesus or Saka or somebody who did something.
Yeah, yeah.
Very few people had, or Callum Wilson, you know, very few people had captained somebody who blanked. And that's a problem. As soon as that happens.
It just shows you, though, that the game is still...
It's still in flux,
it
massively.
It is still very tight, this game, this season, in a way that I don't think we've seen in many seasons past. No. I mean, you and I have played FPL a lot, right, for a long, many, many years. And I don't think we've ever got to sort of game week 14 and it's this close in terms of ranks and rank swings. Now, like 52, yeah, okay, it's not a great game week, but... You're not miles under the average. I mean, if the average is 59, you're getting 52.
It's about 400k.
It's not an utter stinker, and you've gone down 400k.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Because it's also tight. And this is the thing, is that, you know, when you get one decision that goes well, and this is why I really wanted to bring in Callum Wilson this week, had not injuries and, you know, I said to you, didn't I, at one point in the Arsenal game, I was like, I actually hope that Jesus gets booked. Because if Jesus gets booked,
it's easy then, isn't it?
I can just sell him for Callum Wilson, because then if Callum Wilson returns at 2% owned...
Do you think that is a real, real easiest transfer to make this season if you're a Tony owner? You think Tony to Wilson is just a lock-in?
I think Tony, Mitrovic... Anybody that's not in necessarily the best form at the moment is an easy sell for
Callum. Stick Callum in.
Absolutely.
A couple of weeks. If he trolls you, you get rid of him. And if he does well, you're in the money, because he's a differential.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, and you know, those are the players that you need. You need the differentials in there, and you need them working for you. So, yeah, it was an absolute stinker a week for me. But we go again. We've got 2 free transfers. Let's keep our ears on what.
What are you thinking then? So go on then. So I've already done once. I've done Tony to Wilson. That's done, because I think it's a no-brainer. I'm thinking Cucurella to Creswell as another bit of fun and going on the West Ham defence and try and get a double-digit haul out of Creswell somewhere. So I'm, you know, my 2 transfers potentially are for under 5% owned players. Now listen, by the time the game week rolls around, Wilson won't be under 5%. He was when I bought him in, but he's already at 8 or 9. What are you thinking then? 2 free transfers? A couple of fun punts? What are you thinking?
Well, I'll be waiting. I'll be absolutely waiting to see what the... Because I've got injuries. I've got flags. So I can't do anything until I know what's going on with Saka. for a start. I'm going to just play Danny Ward. So I'm not dealing with Kepa. That's just a problem I don't want to deal with.
Okay.
I don't feel the need to either. I think Ward's got two nice enough fixtures.
You wouldn't have played Kepa against Arsenal, would you?
No, I was planning to play Ward this week anyway. And I was planning to play Ward against West Ham in game week 16 anyway. So yeah. I'm not overly concerned about that. So Saka, I'm waiting for news on him. I am absolutely wanting to sell Zaha as quickly as possible. So he can go. I've got a bit of money in the bank as well. I think I've got 0.8 or 0.9 in the bank, so I can go up. I can move around. I need to see what Pep does in the Champions League with Foden, because if I think I'm going to get another week where Foden's benched and Haaland's injured, then maybe I've got to have a conversation with myself about my Man City assets.
What if Haaland is out for a bit?
If Haaland's out
until the World Cup,
then I might sell him. I know I've got money in him, but that is the sort of punt that would help me.
What, go to Wilson?
Well, just go to Wilson and I can go to KDB in midfield instead.
Yeah.
I can take Zaha to KDB and then suddenly I've got a team where I've got players that are going to play with nice fixtures. Like, I wanted to be invested three City because of these fixtures, and currently the way it's looking, I'm invested one City because I've got Cancelo and I've got Foden who keeps getting benched. So, do you know what I mean?
Foden will be all right for you. Foden is not a priority transfer out for the next couple of weeks.
I don't think at all. I don't think he is either, but I do think it's a priority to have more City assets in my team. And if Haaland's out, I know I've got value in him, but at this stage, you start to think, well, how much do I value the value over owning a fit player for these 2 weeks.
Yeah, agreed. So here's my bus team then. Let me just talk through my bus team for the upcoming game week 15 then. So I've got Pope and Trippier at the back there, the double Newcastle defence against Southampton. Cancelo at home to Fulham. Nico Williams at home to Brentford. So I'm going to bring him off my bench.
No Tony, right?
But equally, Nico, he didn't get the full game, did he, at the weekend? So there's maybe a little bit of doubt over his time as well. Now, I know it was Arsenal. He only got 26 minutes in that game. So, listen, I wouldn't have played him anyway against Arsenal. But hopefully that means he gets a sort of reinstated into the team. At the moment, I've got Salah, Foden, Zaha and Martinelli in midfield, which feels pretty template and not really liking it. Salah going to Spurs, Zaha going to West Ham. Martinelli against Chelsea is difficult as well, so I'm not really loving it very much. And then Haaland, Mitrovic, and Wilson up front. So, yeah, not full of joy, really, for this team. I'll be honest, the back line is probably okay. I've got my three Newcastle in there, which I'm okay with. Mitrovic away at the Etihad, not fancying that at all. I've got Cucurella on my bench, who I think is going to become probably Creswell if I fancy going in on him. And then I've got Ben White, who I'm benching because he's away at Chelsea. But listen, he feasibly could get a start ahead of Zaha or, I was going to say Salah. I'm not going to play Ben White over Salah, right? But that's my team. That's my team. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, not filling me full of the joys of spring, to be honest with you. So I'm looking at Callum Wilson, 8% owned and hoping that he can do something for me away at Southampton.
Captain?
Well, at the minute, it's on Haaland, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to...
If not fit?
Well,
can't be Foden. Can't be sure if he's going to play.
And so it's not Mo either, is it? I mean,
Where's Callum Wilson?
It's, do you know what? It's difficult, that. I mean, part of me just thinks stick it on Trippier, because Trippier's so bloody consistent this week. It's unreal. Captain. I think he probably is. I've got it bust on Haaland right now, because home to Fulham, if he's fit and he's going to play, that's obvious, isn't it? But if for whatever reason he's not, Pep's, you know, chucked words around like ligament damage and stuff, hasn't he? Mm. But, you know, whether it's serious ligaments or not, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, probably is. Callum Wilson, you know.
Probably
it probably is. I'm looking at it. I haven't put much thought into who I would do other than Haaland. But yeah, probably is Wilson, you know.
Mm. So, okay, mine. I've got Danny Ward in goal against Everton. Feels quite nice.
Okay.
Back three of Dallo versus Aston Villa, Trippier and Cancelo. Again, happy with those three.
Yeah.
The midfield, it gets complex because there's Zaha, who I just hate owning. I've got Saka, who's potentially injured.
Yeah.
I've got Foden and I've got Martinelli. Those two are fine. And then a front three of a potentially injured Haaland, who, like you, is currently my bus team captain.
Sure.
Kane and Jesus. Kane currently with the vice-captain armband. But I don't want...
Same question then.
Well, I don't really want to captain Kane, because when I captain Kane, he blanks. And I don't want him to blank against Liverpool. my dear. I want us to smash you. So I would, I'd like Kane to riot. So my...
If I had your team and Haaland's out, I would 100% captain Harry Kane.
Oh, yeah, but I...
No issue whatsoever.
Twice so far. Two blanks.
You watched us recently.
Yeah, I've also watched Harry Kane blank wearing my captain's armband twice.
Yeah.
And a bench of Nico Williams, Anderson and Andreas.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my two free transfers. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not.
If Saka's out, Saka to Almiron feels pretty locked in.
That will happen. I think Almiron's coming in either way with one of them. I think Almiron's coming in for either Saka or for Zaha.
Zaha, yeah, okay.
I can see that happening. Okay. Just have to wait and see what.
Miggy Almiron, come on. I mean, I'm asking for trouble, aren't I? Absolutely on fire.
I'm going to sell Zaha for Almiron. This is absolutely asking for trouble.
If at the beginning of the season you'd have said, game week 15, Sam, you're going to be bringing in Almiron with one of your free transfers for either Zaha or Saka. You'd have been like, what are you talking about?
Don't. It's ridiculous. yeah, otherwise, I don't really know what I'm going to do.
Well, there we go. All right. Well, there's our bus teams, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast this week. Sorry for no live stream. We'll be back next Sunday.
After the derby.
8:30, after the FPL Family Derby, with a live stream on YouTube as usual. But if you're listening to this, thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you're not following us or subscribed or whatever on your podcast platform of choice yet, then we'd love you to give us a 5-star review or hit like or follow or subscribe or whatever it is that you do on Spotify or Apple Music or Acaster or Audio Boom or wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. So, folks, thank you for tuning in. Well done if you got anything better than we did. If you're up in the high 60s or I don't know. I mean, if you got 60 something or 70 something, that feels like a pretty good game week. So well done to those of you that did in game week 14. We'll see you back on YouTube and the podcast again 8:30 next Sunday night after the FPL Family Derby. Until then, green arrows and good luck in game week 15.
Bye, guys.